intro time.
Yes.
So, welcome to Paytech Talk, the podcast about payments. I'm your co-host, Emily Robita.
And I'm Elliot Lyons. And today we're switching it up a little bit. We're gonna have a guest on, and he's going to basically explain his experiences around a certain type of, what would you say, payments shortcut?
Shortcut is a way shortcut. To put it.
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, today we're gonna do a payment shortcut called phone phreaking for all you people probably over 35 would know about. So yeah, let's jump into that with Matt Danzico.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to a very cool episode of Paytech Talk, you know, because, you know, we don't do this for free. just kidding. We kind of do.
We do.
anyway, so today, I don't know if it's a special episode, but we do have a honored guest here yep. to talk about phone phreaking. And that phreaking is a like it's with that PH, not like the F as in like freak. And it may not have come through in my accent, but yeah, it's a PHREAKING. Yeah, the spelling's a little bit difficult today. So we have, I'm just going to let him introduce himself because he's a pretty cool guy. I've known him a lot of my life, actually. Matt, can you?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. I am Matt Danzico. I am a filmmaker and a journalist. These days, I create documentaries in various places around our planet. I used to be, before that, I was a sort of a documentary and innovation exec at NBC. And then before that, I was head of innovation and then also sort of a documentary and video news related person at BBC. And now I run my own studio and I live in Spain, but I'm American. And yeah, just spent a year in Ukraine. So just back from Ukraine, creating two films there and working on a new one. So yeah, that's about me. I have a dog named Lorca and a wife named Sweetie. I'm lucky enough to have those two mammals in my life. And otherwise, I think that's it. That's about everything.
Okay, cool. Thanks for the intro. For all the people who don't know, now they know, as they say.
Thank you.
It's a RIP, the late Notorious B.I.G. used to say, if you don't know, now you know. Anyway, so the funny thing is we came up with this topic of phone freaking, PH freaking. Exactly. We came up with this topic while we were having lunch a few months ago.
Yes.
When Matt was in town for the International Documentary Film Festival, ITFA, as they call it.
ITFA.
And we were sitting having lunch that wasn't terribly good, actually. So sorry about
that. It was decent enough.
Yeah, okay, it was decent enough. Anyway, we were sitting around talking about like ideas, and then Matt just started. I forget how we got here to phone freaking, but you had a really cool story about how when I guess you were in high school. Was it high school or like middle school age? And you used to do this.
I was 12.
You were 12.
Oh wow, you're that's awesome. Oh, you were 12. So like, can you just like take us through that story? Because I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah. What it was, and by the way, the restaurant was awesome.
Okay, fine.
Okay, that's good. As long as you liked it,
was even better. So it was awesome to have lunch with y'all. And what we were talking about, we were talking about a bunch of things. I was just saying that, you know, I miss kind of being a day to day journalist myself. I work on these longer term projects now, obviously, in film. But I miss kind of like jumping all around the place with different topics. And we were talking about finance and economics, and like secretly, genuinely, I've never told anybody this in a recorded setting ever. Actually, I'm a sort of a closet economics fan or like freak, going with the theme of the program of phone freaking. I read economics textbooks in my spare time for fun. Right now, I'm reading one. I'm reading a microeconomics textbook that I read this morning. This is what I do and have done for years when I wake up in the morning. I love reading about economics. It's fascinating. And so what I had said to you, both of you, is that you should look into I was giving you like all of these different story topics that I thought were super interesting in the realm of finance and economics. And suddenly I had remembered there was this one story that I always wish I had covered as a journalist, and that is on the subject of phone phreaking. And yeah, I think that's how it came about. But I can, do you want me to tell you?
Because in the story, like if you don't know what it is, because we actually haven't gotten to like what it is if you don't know, if you weren't born in like the 90s or the 80s, I mean the 80s, the 80s, sorry, not 90s, the 80s, like most of us in this call were, you probably don't know what it is, or if you're like a nerd, if you're born in the 90s and you're a nerd, you probably know what it is. But in Matt's example, it like says what it is. So, you know, you're.
That's true.
So I can tell you, I mean, the definition of phone phreaking is when you hack a telephone system to make long distance calls. At least that's what it was for me. So phone phreaking, the history of it. So I had to, I knew a lot more about this when I was younger, obviously. But the history of it is it started in sort of around the 1960s. And then became popular in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s are really when it died out. I kind of was on the tail end of phone phreaking. So I came to it through the movie Hackers when I was a little kid.
That's a great movie, though.
Yeah, it was a great movie. I was obsessed with everything computers. Like, I still am. I'm a filmmaker and a journalist, but really, like the innovation side of my job is really where my heart is. I, you know, in the same way that phone phreakers weren't very interested really in making long distance calls, I'm, I guess, not really interested in journalism or filmmaking. Rather, I'm interested in hacking. Journalism and film is my telephone system, right? I love messing with it and effing with it as much as I possibly can, because I think it's a system of power that's really malleable and interesting. And often held in the hands of people who don't even know what they're doing. You know, I've been in these, I was an executive. I've been in these meetings. I know they have no idea what they're talking about. And so I like thus messing with it. It's just a really fun thing to do, is to F with this. There's a long history of journalism that people are so purist about, when in actuality it's failing and their methods of sustaining it are failing miserably. Because they hold on to the purity of it. And so thus I love it. And so how I got involved in filmmaking and journalism is literally through phone hacking. Yeah, that's why it's always on my mind. And it came up in conversation because, so I saw the movie Hackers. In Hackers, it's ridiculous. You know,
it is. It's a great movie, though.
There's this moment where Angelina Jolie and the actor from the movie Hackers basically are they're these two guys who are either approach them or sort of appear in this movie and tell them about how you can manipulate a telephone system, right? And so I got really interested in, like, what are they talking about? I knew about hacking. I had been to a lot of computer conventions and hacking conventions when I was a little kid with my friend Stu.
Really?
So Stu and I used to be taken to all these computer conventions as like 10, 11, and 12-year-olds by his dad. And at the time, we were talking like floppy disk, like level computer conventions, you know? So I remember we would like save up our nickels and dimes to like buy like early computer games and put them into our like IBM 286s or 386s or whatever, you know? It was like really, really early computers, I guess, like home computing. And so we saw this movie and we heard this. Yeah, there's a scene where these two twins, I think, unveil this idea of hacking the phone system. So we were like, what is that? And so lo and behold, phone hacking is, at the time when we got into it, was basically done through what were called red boxes. So red boxes were tone generators that you could buy at random Radio Shacks, which is where we eventually got ours. But we first started doing this through a Talkboy cassette recorder that appeared in the movie Home Alone.
Of course. I mean, I didn't have a Talkboy, but my friends had it. That was like everyone had one of those.
Yeah. So what people don't know and how phone phreaking sort of works is this, right? So in old school telephone systems, right? So think of a payphone from the 1990s, right? Or 80s or whatever. You pick up the receiver and there's a bunch of buttons. Those buttons actually are not really buttons, but really they create sounds, right? So the telephone system interprets the program code that you put into the telephone, aka the telephone number, right? as sounds. And so every sound is associated with a different tone, or every number is associated with a different tone. So if I dial 347, it might be like, bom, 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 you know, and what's happening is that you're basically programming in, you know, the person you want to talk to. And so the telephone system never sees the buttons being pushed in any way, shape, or form. And so what you could ultimately do is you could really just record those tones, hold them up to a receiver, and play them out through the receiver, which is like the intake mechanism, right? And the phone will still interpret you as having pushed those buttons, right? And so we learned this. And then what we also learned, and this was kind of like how we got into it, is we learned that actually also the same thing happens when you put in quarters, nickels, and dimes. So when you put in a quarter, a nickel, or a dime in a public telephone system, or when you used to do that, like a tone would play out internally. And if you basically get a recording of that tone of a quarter and play it into the receiver, the telephone won't know that you haven't put in a quarter in reality. It will interpret that sound as having put in a quarter. And so you could see how calling long distance lines to Japan, which is what we ultimately did a lot, would become interesting, right? So what we did is, and stop me if I'm just like ranting about all
this
of
is, this. This is beautiful.
This is fantastic.
I do have some notes, but we can get to those later after you finish the story.
Please continue.
Yes.
Yeah, so the story doesn't go on much longer. It's basically like, at the time, my friends and I used to hang out on what was called and what probably still is called IRC, which I think stands for Internet Relay Chat. And it was like an early chat room system, right? So like a bit of software that was code-based, and you'd basically go into kind of like these code-based chat rooms with other people. You'd create bots within these chat rooms, and they'd be able to like kick people out if they said the word, you know, fart or something ridiculous like that. Because you'd be, I mentioned that because you're 12, you know, yeah, and you're a ridiculous nerdy 12-year-old, and you're creating these bots inside these chat rooms. And you'd go into different chat rooms, and each chat room was themed around a different topic. The chat room was called Party Teens, which is as lame as you think it would be. Like we were just there talking about like computers and software and different things. That was actually the reality of it. But you could go into different chat rooms, like hacking related themed chat rooms, and you would learn so much about like hacking or phone phreaking. And there are these software packages that you can get from the bots, basically, if you typed in the right prompt. And they would give you everything from like literally like the tones for quarters, nickels, and dimes for phone phreaking. They were like hacking kits that you would get within these early internet chat rooms. But you get like tones for tone generators. They would give out, which is now since become very taboo, understandably and appropriately, but the anarchist cookbook would be in these downloadable files, which was this, it's not worth getting into, this very inappropriate book on how to hack different places, including Kmart, and like how to cause chaos in various places. So that would be a part of it. But in addition to that, they would have like credit card generators, super illegal, which is a conversation for another time. But you download these packets. And so what you do is you literally just like record these tones onto a cassette. And then you'd run to a payphone, you dial the number you want to dial, and the operator or whatever the recording would say, you know, insert $4.50 to call this country or whatever. And you'd play your tones out, but you'd have to play out the correct amount. And so that was the beginning. That's how we got into it initially. I think like the whole thing probably, like we were probably only into it for less than a year, you know, but at that time we found out that Radio Shack sold these tone generators that were basically for, it was this transitionary step between rotary phones where you'd pull back the dial to make a call and actual like touchpad phones. And so there were these things called that were like number generators or tone generators at the time. And so you could buy them in case you came upon a rotary phone, you could pick up the receiver and just press in the number on your tone generator and it would play in the tone into the receiver and then it would make the call. Again, because telephones don't know the difference between pressing buttons and sounds, right? Like it's basically you would, these things operate at 26,000 hertz and that's like the sound of a tone in a telephone. And so what you could do though is you can basically hack the tone generator. So you can bring it home. There was this like crystal that you replaced, and then you could upload tones of like of change going into a telephone. And so effectively, then when you went back to the telephone booth, not this time, but this time without your Talkboy cassette recorder and instead with a tone generator, you could, you know, dial whatever country you want and just play in your using your tone generator. And so that's what we did. And I hope the statute of limitations for phone ringing has passed. I actually don't know. So apologies to any legal authorities who may be listening to this. Yeah, but this is what we did. And it was super fun. It opened up like a lot of windows and ideas around challenging power and challenging preconceived notions of, you know, what you should be using money for, why you're using money, you know, how systems work, mainly communicative and communication systems and information systems, you know, and that for me and for a lot of the other people who I was friends with when I was a little kid have led to us moving into different industries and constantly, you know, our goal is to really disrupt them. You know, I think in the same way we were first came upon disruption through phone phreaking that ultimately has shot us out into different industries, but all with this idea and kind of single-minded focus of disrupting them. And yeah, and that's kind of it in a nutshell. That's
whoa. The thing in a nutshell. Oh no, it's really super cool. I had no idea that it was that deep, that depth, like in your reflectiveness is, you know, it's pretty impressive. It's cool how you relate that to like what you do now. And I didn't know that it was really like a foundational sort of occurrence for you to kind of inspire you to do what you do currently. I think what's interesting with these things is always the community, right? It's like you and your friends, but like this early like online chat room community, which I guess if you weren't there in the 90s, it's kind of, you wouldn't know because, you know, all the kids, they take it for granted. But like, what was the community like of in your chat rooms and these other people who did this from what you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I was friends with a lot of them. So funny enough, these chat rooms, and keep in mind, like it felt radical at the time. I'm 41 now. And so I was 12 when this is taking place. So it's like 1994. Right. And at the time, it felt radical to be speaking to people over your computer, as stupid as that sounds now. I mean, and it was super radical. Like, you know, the other kids at your school would go home and they would, I don't know what they were doing, you know, playing Nintendo or something. But we were downloading, like, we were downloading tone generators and like credit card generators and like, you know, and learning how to crack communication systems. And it, we found it radical. But the people in these chat rooms, they were a mixture. I think a lot of them turned into like, there was this era of cyberpunks that existed in the 90s. I think a lot of them would have associated with kind of like that identity. Okay. You know, we're all teenagers for the most part. I think there's probably a couple people who are a bit older, maybe in their 20s. But a large enclave of us actually came from this part of northeastern Pennsylvania where I'm from. So I knew a lot of the people in this internet world and group in reality, like in physical reality. And a lot of the other people didn't. So like the guys who I learned to do all this horrible and mischievous stuff with, I was friends with and I went to school with, you know, and we eventually like played in bands together and did all the teenage things that one does when you're a rebellious teenager, you know, and it really started through phone phreaking, which was birthed through our interest in like IRC and really weird like films that we were watching at the time, etc.
Okay, no, that's cool. Emily, do you have any questions for our dear Matt?
I will be honest because I was born in the late 90s, so this was before my time, but this has been very educative for me because I, first of all, went into this call not knowing what phone phreaking is, and now I'm going to go down a huge rabbit hole.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
it extremely interesting.
No, but it's really kind of cool to see, like, the for us to see, like, the progress in terms of communications. Mm-hmm. Because that was back when a time where long distance calling like was a thing, right? You either like you had a phone and you had like one of those little phone cards and you would dial the card and stuff, you know? If you wanted to call your like, since you're from Pennsylvania, we're all East Coast people, mm-hmm. more or less.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So like if you wanted to call your grandma in like California, right, you had to get like the card, mm-hmm. or you had to have like a long distance plan on your landline. If you wanted to do this, or you had to go to a payphone and just like basically feed it quarters, like every 5 minutes for the call. And now it's just like, whatever, like I'll call my yeah. cousin in LA, you know, we'll just pick up the phone now. And it's all over the internet.
You know, what's funny is there was a time when you didn't used to have to type in the area code, right, of whomever you were calling. You'd pick up the phone and dial 7 numbers, and that corresponded to people in your local geography. I know that also sounds so stupid now, but it was true. And so how phone phreaking, like on a technical level, worked is if you were dialing 7 numbers, you were dialing somebody in your like local exchange, right? So that was like basically a place within your own area code. And really, like what was happening and why long distance calling was really involved is because the hack happened at the moment when the local exchange would reach out to what were called trunk lines.
Okay.
And that was how trunk lines would route you internationally or to even just different area codes. And so basically, like that was the hack. It was like being able to access those trunk lines and bring them back to kind of like a prompt where you would be able to, you know, insert these quarters and or put in these tones. And so that idea of like the communication between like the local exchange and the trunk lines were really what was going on. You were hacking at that moment, or you were phone phreaking, whatever you want to call it, at like that moment when that would happen. And there was like, I think for all of us growing up on the East Coast, well, I would imagine for you guys too, like for me in a small town in northeastern Pennsylvania, it felt so wild to think that I'm going to be speaking on the telephone to somebody in a foreign country because I had never been to a foreign country at that moment yet, you know? And it was such an eye-opening experience, you know, to kind of go through that process. And yeah, it really has sort of bled into, like, for me personally, like many areas of my life. And I know the same for my friends. All thanks to Red Boxes, basically, and the movie Hackers.
Yeah, very cool. What was the other? Oh, no, I was trying to think of, because that period had some like cool hackerish movies. And I was trying to remember, I was like, what was the one with Sandra Bullock? The Net. That was also a hacker movie, The Net.
Oh, my God. You know, there's a secret. Oh, I just realized how pertinent this is that we named a film. So I just went to Ukraine and I made 2 films. And one of the films we called War Games. And War Games was another one of the 80s. Movies that I watched as a little kid. And we all who worked on the film wanted to name the movie War Games, which is actually also, yeah, the name of this movie with Matthew Broderick, where he like, yep. it's the first movie I know of that's about hacking. And in the movie, there's a scene where they are doing phone, he's doing phone phreaking at scale though. Like he's doing this thing called war dialing, where he's using his computer to like help find basically lines that were being used by other computers. And to do that, he had typed in this prompt where like he was calling telephones at scale to find what telephone numbers were associated with other computers. But yeah, War Games. So I've named my movie after a hacking movie from the 1980s.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle. So before we go, like, thanks for telling us about your most recent project and keeping it relevant and connected to the topic at hand. I expect nothing less than from a journalist of your stature. Mm-hmm. So this is your most recent project, War Games. That's not the one you're editing now, though.
No, I'm doing one right now it's a bit of a secretive project. I just asked you
like what you're working on now so people can get excited about it. Type thing.
Or if you have any projects that you want to kind of share.
it's about the church. So I decided I'm making what is turned out to be a much more difficult film than making two films in a war zone. I'm making a film about the church on the Eastern Seaboard in America. And it's an investigation into something that once happened there. And yeah, that's it.
Okay, that got dark.
Well, no, I didn't say it was dark.
Okay, well, Matt Danzico, thank you for joining us and enlightening us with your knowledge about phone phreaking. And I guess it's kind of, you know, parent hacking. That's the important part here, kids, is the hacking part.
Yes.
And always being safe and, you know, don't do anything you shouldn't be doing, but you're probably going to do it anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah, let's be real. And who knows? It could make you into a filmmaker someday.
These technologies are obsolete, by the way. So like we're saying this, nobody can do this anymore because it's just impossible. These types of phone systems
don't exist anymore. But obviously it's evolved, you know, with the technology, the sort of the hacking has evolved. So maybe we should do a whole podcast on hacking, huh?
Hacking series.
Maybe we can do that and then have like Matthew Broderick on and like have Sandra Bullock. She can talk about the net and then have Angelina on and she can talk about hackers.
Yeah.
That'd be really great. So yeah, next episode, we're going to have Matthew Broderick, and then we're going to have Angelina on, and then we're going to have Sandra Bullock come by. Three-part series, people.
Shooting for the stars.
Yep, that's what we do it. So look forward to that next time on PayTech Talk.
All right, thanks for listening.
Good luck.
Or probably not, I guess. You've just been listening to PayTech Talk, the podcast about payments. PayTech Talk is brought to you by Cognito Amsterdam. Thanks for listening.